Welcome to worship. Welcome to the west coast of Scotland, to Lough Arbour. So whoever you are and wherever you are, whatever time you're watching this, you're very welcome to join in our worship. For our call to worship, I've chosen one verse from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Today we are talking and thinking about how we can stay on the path that God would have us follow, in spite of all the distractions of the wrong and unjust things that we see going on in the world around us. So let's join together in our worship. Come and join us.
Father, it is by your gift that we worship you and come to you in prayer. You reached out to us through your Son, who lived among us, and revealed the small glimpses of you that our simple human hearts and minds could understand. For you are everywhere. You are always. Your magnitude is far beyond our ability to comprehend. So we simply worship your mystery. Your compassion is far beyond our ability to measure. So we simply rest in the warmth of your embrace. The depths of your love are far beyond our ability to fathom, so we simply kneel and worship. In his living, dying, and rising from the dead, your Son, our Lord, has taught us that we can have complete trust in you, our Heavenly Father. You hold all in your hands, and whatever happens, you work through it to bring about good, to bring in your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, when our prayer consists of just telling you what you should do. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us, Lord, when we cease to pray because we do not get the answer we want. Christ, have mercy. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget that you are our loving Father who will always answer our prayers in the way that is best for us and for others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, grant your forgiveness and grace to us who understand so little and stray so frequently, that we may ever trust in you and honour and serve you every day of our lives. Amen.
From Paul's second letter to Timothy at chapter 3, reading from verse 14. But as for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and because he is coming to rule as king, I solemnly urge you to preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, to convince, reproach, and encourage as you teach with all patience. The time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires and will collect for themselves more and more teachers who will tell them what they are itching to hear. They will turn away from listening to the truth and give their attention to legends. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances, endure suffering, do the work of a preacher of the good news, and perform your whole duty as a servant of God. Amen. May God bless these words to us this day. Reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming to him and pleading for her rights, saying, "Help me against my opponent." For a long time, the judge refused to act. But at last he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect men, yet, because of all the trouble this widow is giving me, I will see to it that she gets her rights. If I don't, she will keep on coming and finally wear me out." And the Lord continued, "Listen to what that corrupt judge said. Now, will God not judge in favor of his own people who cry to him day and night for help? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will judge in their favor and do it quickly. But will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes?" Amen.
At our service in Harrogal on Sunday, we will be singing the hymn, "These Are the Days of Elijah." The verse in that praise item includes these words: "These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are a voice in the desert. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It then goes on to talk about the days of Ezekiel and of David and what happened during their lifetime. And it finishes by telling us that it's harvest time and we are the labourers in the vineyards, declaring the word of the Lord. Well, I've got two reasons why I've chosen this praise item. Firstly, it echoes the message of the two readings we have today, as well as the harvest theme, which we are having in Ahurakal. And secondly, I like the instructions about how to sing it. It says, with confidence. It's an upbeat rock rhythm tune, which should help to lift the mood and instill the confidence we see in the instructions. Well, we'll see. Both of our readings today come from the ends of journeys. Jesus' parable falls near the end of his journey to Jerusalem and immediately follows his teaching about the coming of God's kingdom and the end times. He knows very soon he will not have the liberty to teach his disciples, and so he must, in this very short time ahead of him, get as much over to them as he possibly can, clearly and concisely. Paul's letter to Timothy is written from Rome, and Paul is in jail. Only Luke is with Paul now. Paul realises that his race is nearly run. He's on the final lap. And Paul urges Timothy to hold on to sound teaching and the inspired scriptures. And remember, the scriptures that Paul would be talking about would be the Old Testament, the Jewish law and the Jewish faith. Be bold, have courage, keep running, he says, right to the end of the race, to the finishing line. And our parable from Luke carries the same message, persistence and a determination to get what is right. Actively relying on God, no matter how unjust or corrupt the world becomes. Both Paul and Jesus are concerned that their last minute, their final instructions before they leave this physical life should be as clear as possible. Jesus uses a story to convey the essentials of his teaching, and he includes in it many references to Jewish law so it would hit home and be understood. It would be clear to the listeners. Well, Jesus begins by telling the disciples that the parable he is about to tell is about praying always and not losing heart. The parable itself, however, focuses on a widow who was dealing with a judge in a corrupt justice system. Luke tells us twice in this tale that the judge is someone who neither fears not God nor respects people. And Jesus himself describes the judge as unjust. Regardless, the widow repeatedly comes to the judge in pursuit of justice. She tells him, grant me justice against my opponent, or literally against the one who is treating me unjustly. But despite her plea, the judge does nothing. He refuses to act because he's not willing, and so he does not respond at first. For those familiar with Jewish scripture, the judge's lack of action is especially appalling. In biblical texts, widows are counted amongst the most destitute of society, along with some other vulnerable groups, such as the poor and orphans and resident aliens. Because of the precarious social and economic position of such groups, biblical texts also make provision for them. And we see these in Exodus and Deuteronomy and in Isaiah, and these help to ensure that they do not fall victim to exploitation. Yet while the widow's social position certainly numbers her amongst Luke's concern for the lowly, the widow in this parable resists the exploitation to which she is being subjected. She is clearly not going to let go. like other widows before her, such as Tamar in Genesis and Ruth and Naomi. The widow in Luke takes matters into her own hands. Then it would seem farcical to think that a poor widow could bother a person like a judge so much that he would give in to her demands. Not, it would appear, because she is in the right, but simply to get her to stop bothering him. And nowadays you could see this being represented in a cartoon which might appear in the magazine Punch or in newspapers. A topsy-turvy picture of a lowly widow getting the better of a lazy judge who should be held in high esteem, but because they practice unethically and are seen to act that way, leave themselves open to ridicule and challenge. After delivering this short parable, Jesus offers a few concluding comments that touch on the character of God and the nature of faith. He uses the judge's words as a jumping-off point to speak about God's own deliverance of justice, which God dispenses to those who cry out both day and night. But while Jesus appears to compare God with the judge, he's actually contrasting the two. God is in fact not like this reluctant judge. God does not need to be badgered into listening. And when God does respond, God does so willingly. And if anything, God is more like the widow in her own relentless commitment to justice. The widow, though, exemplifies how followers are to be orientated towards God, never giving up, persistent. And Jesus returns to this emphasis on the behaviour of the believers with a concluding rhetorical question that recalls his opening statement in the reading about prayer and not losing heart. We are told at the beginning, remember, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. Here Jesus says, I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to those crying out, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? By ending on a question of whether he will find faith on his return, Jesus raises a number of additional questions for us. How do followers not lose heart and manage to maintain faith? How are we to act if God's justice is not delivered in our own lifetime, or so that we can see it being done? Luke maintains that we are to act like the widow. We are not to wait quietly for Jesus' return and accept our fates in an oppression-ridden world. We are instead to resist injustice with the resolve and constancy of that widow. So let's bring the questions a little bit closer to home. In Lochaber, with all the reorganisation in the church which has been necessary over the last few years and will be for the years in front of us, how do we not lose heart and manage to maintain the faith, both personally as well as nationally? How are we to act in God's just if God's justice is not delivered in our own lifetime, so that we can see it happen? A few weeks ago, when I was addressing the congregation in Aharakol, I was describing the outcome of the recent planning process. And I said that I was stepping down from my role in that process. And I said, because I have done my bit. I have done my bit. The end of the service, a visitor who was a retired minister came to me and said, there's no biblical reference for having done your bit. And he is right. And the race which Paul urges Timothy on to race until he finishes at the finishing line, well, they seem to keep moving that finishing line as well. Our job will never be done, never finished. These are the days, not of Elijah, but of 2022. And we, as God's servants, singing confidently, are declaring the word of the Lord. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, Still we are a voice in the desert, crying, prepare thee the way of the Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Lord, we come to you in thankfulness for all that you have done for us, for all that you have provided for us, for your goodwill for us and for all your people. Above all, we thank you for your saving love shown to us in your Son, and for the knowledge that we can rest secure in your everlasting arms. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church, for her witness to the truth of your word, for all who face hostility or persecution for their faith, and for the unity of all who bear the name of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the world, for those who face violence, homelessness, hunger or disease, for respect for all people, all creatures and our planet, and for trust in your guiding hand, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the communities in which we live, for those who work to meet our needs, and for all whose work is hard or unrewarding, and for a just sharing of resources, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who suffer in body, mind or spirit, for those who care for them and for relief from their troubles, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our departed brothers and sisters, a place of refreshment, light and peace, that all may share at last in your eternal kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For ourselves and for those whose needs are in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Let us commend ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. God, may we not cry out to you without first doing all that we can to change our world. Give us your persistence that enables love and justice to break through every darkness. Amen. And let us continue with the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
In troubled times, when fears surround and life provides no solid ground, I will lift my soul and sing once more of a hope unshakable. I will recall the cross of Christ, one that for
for joining in our worship today. So as we go, may we go into the world to seek justice and to pursue it. And may we not stop until justice and peace are known by all of God's children. And so go with the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Saviour and Spirit, today, tomorrow and forevermore. Amen.
Shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. shine upon you and give you peace and give you peace to shine upon you.